어, 쓰면 parable. 이제 쓰면 church ages.
Seven parables of the seven church ages. It is the period of 2000 years of the history of the church. And that's the very reason. Now we are in this point, in the 2000, we are looking back to that period and seeing everything that Jesus spoke fulfilled. Now, Matthew 13, Jesus gave these parables and said, Kingdom of Heaven is like unto this. And once those things take place, and we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 to chapter 3, speak about the seven church ages. And each church age there is a messenger, God sent, with a message to the element of people who are called elect, to reveal the truth that would be prevented by the false Christians. And as I told you, that we find four groups of people in the Christian world. One is the wheat, other one is tares. The wheat and tares, and then we have find the wise and the foolish. And it says when this parable starts, then refers to a time in the future. Right? When we said about the parables, seven parables, it refers to each age what happens in the kingdom of heaven. Now, prophetically, the Lord gave this parable soon after in Matthew chapter 24, when He gave the description of the various events that are again going to take place in the church history. Now, Matthew 24 is not only events that are going to take place in my time in this period. Matthew 24 covers the events from AD 60s, where when Jesus said, every stone of this temple come down. That was prophecy. And it came down. And also, He also said about the starvation that is going to take place, a tribulation, a great tribulation, where He said, He was sorry for the people who are with children. You know what happened? A prophecy which is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. Maybe some other time I will enlighten that aspect. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, God said, a judgment will be very strong upon you, that you will begin to eat your own children. And that exactly happened soon after the temple was destroyed by Titus, when the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem for 3 months or more than that, and people inside Jerusalem, the walls, they died, they were in starvation. And finally starvation is so much so, they killed their own children and ate. That's the actual factor, historical fact. It is recorded by the Jewish history, a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus. He records this incident which took place between AD 60 and 70, when the Roman army surrounded. And that is why Jesus said, I feel sorry for the women who had children. And He said, but when the disciples and the Christians heard about what this Jesus said, none of them were affected by that because they fled to Saudi Arabia. So what happens is Matthew 24 gives the historical figure for 2000 years. It is not only for in time. And in the same time, here He comes in 25, starting with this parable. He says that then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil with their vessels in their with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. Now this is exactly as I told you, this is historical. In the 1906, God poured the Holy Spirit upon our generation. The seventh church, beginning of the seventh church age. I said about the Azusa Street revival. But soon after this revival, there were a lot of Christian groups emerged. And they felt that the coming of the Lord is going to be very imminent. It's going to happen very soon. And the decade by decade, it went and the Lord did not come. By this time, all these people grouped themselves to various denominations. This is the beginning of all these great denominations like Assemblies of God, UPC, Christian Belgium Holiness, and some of the great denominations emerged during this period. And what happened was, when the Lord was not coming, when they thought the Lord is coming, every decade it passed, He's coming, He's not there. And what did they do? They were quite settled down in their denominational programs. Bible says, the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Where? In denominations. As I explained to you last Sunday, the Lord talks in the book of Revelation about the harlot and the daughters of the harlot. And He says that He will put the people with the harlot to a bed to commit fornication. And the beds are these denominational beds, because denominational beds gives you a lot of comfort. They have their own comfort zones, because they preach nothing but the simple salvation message, or they will go to the next extension of healing and aspect related to salvation of the soul and the healing for the body and related things. Beyond that, they don't go. They don't take them through a process of preparing the people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't have that knowledge. And then it says, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And this is where the arrival of the prophet messenger to our age. There was a midnight cry. That midnight cry exactly took place when this messenger began to pronounce his message in the 1956. Exactly middle of that year. That's what I told last Sunday. God is a very good time manager. With Him, everything perfectly well, work well. Because He says when the fullness of time comes, He sends His Son. In the same way that the Lord, very specific. So this parable, in the midnight, because Brother Branham, when he started his healing ministry, late 1930s and 1940s, he drew large number of people to his meetings, particularly with this healing. I explained to you and I showed you some pictures. But it is in the 1950s when he began to bring forth the teachings, like the oneness of God, the Godhead, the original sin, and related teachings which I presented to you last Sunday evening. And when he began to, what did he do? He told people, come back to the Word. He said, he don't call the people to come back to the Word. And he says, here the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So much so, when this 1906 revival started, it came with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when the people were baptized, many denominations that came up during this period, everybody had the gift of speaking in tongues. They all had gift of speaking in tongues. There were manifestation of all other nine gifts. So what happened here is, so the people who were quite comfortable in this denominational teachings, their hunger is dying. They are basically quite comfortable with what they had. The oil that they had has run out. And when they heard the message, they said, give us. Naturally, when you don't have that enough oil, your life will go out. Behold, he said, behold, I will cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent. That's why I say denominations are bed. Because the Lord says, I will cast them to a bed. And that's why here, during this period, only this word, Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. Come out of her means the harlot system. The harlot system is, Bible speaks about a harlot. That harlot is none other than this great church, the Roman church. And the daughters, harlot has daughters. And these daughters are all the denominations, they are the daughters. Because mother has daughters, and he says, come out of her, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and ye receive not her plagues. And this is why I explained to you, this very scripture, people don't understand it. But now we are very clear on this scripture now. Now he says, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17 says, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now this shout is exactly the same thing, this cry, the midnight cry, and the shout is the same thing. The midnight cry which is referred in the Matthew 25, and the shout that is referred in the Thessalonians 4:16 is the same thing, there is no difference. So the Lord descended with a shout to call people, come back to the word, come back to the truth, come back to the original. And then with the voice of an archangel, which is the fivefold ministry, and the trump of God. Now here we speak here three aspects. The Lord himself has descend from heaven with a shout. Three aspects of his descension. With the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. There are, and he says, we which are alive shall remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You see, can you understand this? Now this is two different aspects. We are going to meet the Lord in the air. But there is going to be some activity where the Lord will descend with a shout. Not bodily form. Now here is, we will meet the Lord in the air, meet him in the air. But he will come down with a shout. Shout means to get our attention to the original word. So we are finished. Shout took place in 1956 when the messenger called people to come back to the word, and when he began to expound, as Revelation 10 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to shout, sound, the mystery of God, we finish. That's what again Corinthians says, behold, I will show you a mystery, we shall not sleep. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. That is still not taken place. The shout is finished. We are in the voice of the archangel. What is the voice of the archangel? It is the fivefold ministry where God has anointed certain people to bring forth the message that was brought in the word of God through the messenger. And the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us, but go ye rather to them that sell, buy for yourself. while the bridegroom went, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him, and the door was shut. The door was shut. And afterward came also the virgin, other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, I know you not, or you have no knowledge of me. This is exactly I explained to you last Sunday. Now what happens is, now all the people from 1996 up until the messenger came, in fact, when he became a Christian, he also was in a denominational system like Baptist Church. He was a minister in the Baptist Church. So what happens is, all of in these systems, every Christian until that time was belonged to any one of the denominations. And then, like the marriage take place, here we find the marriage party. Before the marriage, he sent the messenger. You remember John the Baptist foran the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. So always, this is a very clear indication, the Lord always sent his messenger before his coming. And his bridegroom says, behold, the bridegroom cometh, come ye out to meet. And then what happens here is, this is where, in this period of time, from 1956 up until now, there are many people who meet the bridegroom, who begin to understand and have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, have the revelation who Jesus is, and they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the marriage. And while this is taking place, and the bride and the bridegroom is married, and after that they go to this place called Chupa, which is in Hebrew language. And this is where, as I told you, the bride and the bridegroom is together, where the Chupa of the Word of God. Here we begin to understand the Lord, and the Lord begin to understand us. He will compare us with his Word, and we will know Him through His Word. And that is exactly the ministry of this messenger, was to bring us back to the truth of the Word of God, which is hitherto have been hidden, has hitherto been not given to the true children of God. So what happens here, this is from here, after this is completed, only this will take place. I will explain to you something. Now here we find the coming of Christ for the church, or the marriage of the Lamb. So what happens is, this is called parousia. Parousia means His presence. The word parousia means His presence. Now we have His presence coming to us through His Word and through the ministry of the seventh messenger. So His presence was gloriously manifested with demonstration of His power. And purpose of that ministry was to bring us back to the Word, to the truth, to the revelation. And once that comes, take place, when the shout take place, the marriage feast takes place here. You know, the feast, marriage feast, referring to the feasting on the Word of God, the understanding the truth. This is the bread of life. Jesus says, unless you eat myself, eat me, we have nothing to do with. You eat my bread, flesh, and drink my blood. And that is exactly that we need to understand, this truth of the Word of God. You will never understand the truth when you have an understanding, a diluted understanding of who God is. If you believe that God is a trinity of persons, then there is a big issue here for your knowledge of God. Then also you have a confused the baptism which you should be baptized with. There is a confusion. Then also, when you have a confusion with regard to the original sin, whether it's an apple tree, whether it's something which happened in the garden. And these are the confusions that was cleared by the message of the prophet, a messenger. And therefore, it resulted in we coming back to this Word and feasting on the Word. And it was a marriage feast. And then what happens here is, Epiphania is his glorious appearing in the bodily form. Now this will take place here. It has still not taken place. But I must tell you, this is already finished. His presence, the shout has already taken place. As a result of the shout, the word of God has become so alive to us. It has become so much a glorious revelation of completely from Genesis to Revelation. And then what happens here is, the revelation is what takes place in this place. This is means a revelation, unveiling, uncovering, disclosure in this place. What happens here is revelation. We will come to know him gloriously in that place. Now all these things take place in our time, in the time you and I are living. We are living in now after 1956. Almost, we are past 50 years, 50 plus. So yet the Lord has still not come. It is very clear why the Lord has not come. When we look at ourselves, that we need to still come to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's reckoning, a new day begins with the sunset. The oil came about at the setting of the sun, showing that the last seven church ages, Laodicean age, begin in 1976. The outpouring of the oil in the last stage marked the beginning of the end of God's final work to bring the bride of Christ into perfection in the world. You know, brothers and sisters, God's final desires bring our life according to this blueprint, the word of God. He wants us, the oil of the Holy Spirit is given for us to come to this stature. You remember, one of the weapons that God has given to us, he says, the sword of the Spirit is what? The word. The sword of the Spirit is the word. So what happens here is, we need to understand this word through the Spirit. That's what the Bible says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Outpouring of the oil in the last stage marked the beginning of the end of God's final work. But in the final message to the bride came in the midnight, about 50 years later, 1956. That is exactly in 1956, the Brother Branham began to unveil these holy scriptures, particularly starting from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Godhead. Important aspect that God is not Trinity of person. So God, one God, the three manifestations, for the purpose of bringing us to the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he brought the aspect of the original sin, what resulted in the fall of man, and giving much more importance, the relevance, the glorious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And this revelation was hitherto not known even in 1956. But these teachings brought so many things to us. Why five wise? Why five foolish? The biblical number of God's way of showing some simple and profound truth. Number five is the number of grace. This shows that who the wise and the foolish virgins represents are in God's grace. They are placed in the kingdom of God. You know, wise and the foolish, we are still under God's grace. Number five resembles the grace of God. Unlike the tares among the wheat, in the field, the bad among the good, in the dragnet both, which were the cast to the fire, foolish were not. You know, foolish virgins, they are not going to lost to a lost eternity, I must tell you. They are not going to be lost eternity. One thing to happen to the foolish virgins is, they will not go to the rapture. But yet, they have their opportunity in the kingdom of God. A wise virgin is someone who is sensible, intelligent and prudent. She steadfastly takes inventory of herself in relationship with the Lord and His Word as God illuminates Himself towards her. That's the difference. Wise virgin is someone who is sensible, intelligent and prudent. She steadfastly takes inventory of herself in relationship with the Lord and His word as Lord illuminate Himself towards her. That's what will happen in Chupa. In Chupa, the Lord reveal Himself and then she also measure herself with the word. She takes necessary care and required preparation to facilitate her meeting with the Lord. Foolish virgins is thoughtless and without consideration. Think of her as one who wants to go in the night to a certain town to the last sparsely inhabited rural countryside in a car with just enough fuel to get her there. She had no thought that she might just take wrong road and use up much of her available fuel, find herself lost somewhere out in the middle of the road. An example of a foolish virgin is like when you are traveling a long distance, right? You have enough fuel just to go to that distance. And by mistake, if you go somewhere else and you consume entire fuel, you have nothing to go the next distance. That's exactly the preparation of the foolish virgins. That's why the foolish virgins are, they have no intelligence, not that they don't have intelligence, they don't have a desire and a passion and a thirst and a hunger for the things of God in preparation. It is important to note that all virgins carried lamp and they each had a light. Each lamp had a light and each lamp had oil. At the beginning, all these people had the lights, lamps, and those lamps had the light. Everybody had the light and lamps, lamp had the oil. But the foolish virgin did not take extra oil in an oil vessel for their lamps during the journey to meet the bridegroom. The proof that the foolish had oil in their lamps is in verse 8, when they found out light or the lamp was gone because the oil in them was almost used up. So what happens is they did not have capacity. You know, sometimes when we show the truth to many people, they don't have that capacity to understand this truth. And naturally, because they don't have that preparedness to receive the things of the kingdom of God. Without light to illuminate the pathway, surely one would easily get lost as the darkness deepened into the night. Without infilling of the Holy Spirit baptism, foolish virgins are not led to all truths. That's exactly what we say. You know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and He will lead you to all truth. He will lead you to all truth. Now, if somebody in these denominations, churches, who are these charismatics, all these people who talks about the Holy Spirit, they have the Holy Spirit. What is the indication they have the Holy Spirit? They speak in tongues. But they speak in tongues, and some of the charismatics in the Catholic Church speak in tongues, worship Virgin Mary. Is it possible? If the Holy Spirit is the truth, and if you are speaking in tongues and worshipping an idol, it's not possible. And some of the people who conquer say that they are full of the Holy Spirit, and speak in tongues, and worship God as the three persons, that's an error. How can be? The Bible says there cannot be lie and the truth together. Righteousness, unrighteousness. Some people who proclaim that they speak in tongues and say that they have the Holy Spirit are baptized in the titles, which is not the correct baptism in the name. Because the Bible says there is no other name. There is no other name given under for salvation. And if you are not taken baptism in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not fulfilled the right condition for the remission of your sins. And that's why he says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you to all truth. And that's why we say here, we are presenting the truth, because this is led, we are nothing but the Holy Spirit that will enable you to understand. So if you don't have, however much we teach, however much we present to you, it will go above your head. Every oil lamp that was made to serve its purpose for holding light would receive an initial pouring of the oil. They are of a constant infilling. The lamp represents the virgin believer. As a believer, she carries oil which represents the Spirit of and the Word. You see, the Holy Spirit and the Word, inseparable. That's why he says, let her kill her. Because the same Bible many people are holding, and they have different understanding. But the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, the Spirit, let her kill her, but the Spirit giveth life. That's why he says, one of the weapons that he has given to us, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is Word of God. So for you to understand the Word, you need the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it's not possible. The lamp represents, the oil speaks of the Spirit. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, they are life. Thy word is lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The flame of lamp represents the light of the truth. As a lamp, the flame of the lamp is represent the light of the truth. As a lamp, the Spirit-filled believer lights up her life in testimony to the truth. She exhibits the truth. As long as the lamp is filled with oil and wick is clear of soot, the light will be bright and clear and steady. It will not flicker. The wick speaks of the understanding of the believer in the Word of God. It speaks of her revelation of the Word of God. If you take a lamp, you have a wick. And it says it is what holds the light. The understanding of the believer in the Word. It speaks of her revelation of the Word of God. The soot or the carbon that is formed in the tip of the wick speaks of the darkening of her revelation by some man-made doctrine and teachings which have attached themselves to understanding. Hence the virgin needs to trim her lamp regularly by lifting up the wick and snuffing off the blackened part, and if necessary filled up the lamp with oil from the oil vessels. You know why you have extra oil? When you in the night, if you use the lamps, you would know this. If you are going to wait for a long time, you need to make sure as the wick is getting darkened, you need to remove that and put more oil, because it's not like electricity. You don't feel now. We don't understand because we have electricity. But whatever the continuous infilling is necessary for you to completely have the light. So what happens here, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things that would happen to all of us is that He will lead us not one truth, but all truth. There are some people we know, there are some people who believe in the oneness of God. They believe that they are one. In fact, you know, Pentecostal church, they believe in one, but in a different form. They don't have the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. UPC, who broke away from the Assemblies of God, they don't believe in Trinity. They believe in the oneness of God. They baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't baptize in titles, UPC. It's a big denomination. But they don't have they only stand by that side. Beyond that, they don't move. They don't have any understanding of the original sin. The Holy Communion, which is a very significant thing that the Lord commanded with regard to remembering of His death. They don't have any understanding, any revelation of that. Why? Because they are finished with that. They feel, okay, beyond this we don't want to move. So, virgin needs trim their lamp regularly by lifting up the wick and stuffing off the blackened part. If necessary, fill up the lamp with oil from oil vessels. Oil vessels speak of the ready source of Spirit and the Word in the life of a believer to keep the lamp burning all the time. You see, when these people came, when the bridegroom came, these people did not have the lamp. They went out. You know, we will explain to you it later. The unction in a believer who is continually walked with the spiritual, inspired, absolute, authority word of the Scripture provides source through which the Spirit of the Lord flows through. The unction in a believer who continually walks with the spiritual, inspired, absolute and authoritative word of the Scripture provides the source through which the Spirit of the Lord flows through. When you know these truths only, otherwise what will happen is if you go to some of these denominational churches, they only provide very light entertainment. You see, very light things. It's not very strong ones. It's maybe for half an hour or 45 minutes. They just talk about very light things and sermons, which is essentially related to salvation of a soul and leaving something related to that. And also some places it is also talking about the healing and the miracles and things like that. Beyond that, they don't prepare the people in deeper things or the word of God, because they have no knowledge and understanding. But mind you, some of these pastors, some of these preachers, they have gone to so-called theological schools and obtained degrees in theology and even doctorate. Yet, they cannot expound the word of God. They cannot understand, give an explanation of what happened in the Noah's days. Who are the sons of God? Who are the daughters of men? You question them. You ask them, what is the sin of Ham? They have no knowledge of that. Why? Those degrees and doctorates is not of God. They have gone through some schools of education. Some of the truth may be okay, some things. But when it comes to the revelation, it is, they may have all the theoretical stuff of the scriptures, but not the doctrines which is essentially to bring our lives in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning of 20th century, these virgins had yearned for the coming of the bridegroom, our Lord Savior Jesus, but not Lord, but Lord tarried his return. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. About 10 years into journey, the virgins got weary and tired. They soon found shelter and beds began to settle down. It was long before they slumbered and slept in denomination of beds. This is exactly what happened from 1906, even 1956. Even after, until the message of the Lord comes, the messenger, the sound, in the days of the voice of the messenger, until that awakens, you will be comfortably asleep in denominations. And also, it's very difficult sometimes if you have been in a denomination, you know, it's very difficult for you to get out of it, you know. You feel very comfortable there because, you know, things are so very nice there. It is not long before they slumbered and slept, slipping right back into the denominational spirit. It is during this period the Pentecostal movement began to split into factions. Assemblies of God, Apostolic Assemblies, Church of God in Christ, United Pentecostal Church, Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ. These are some of the leading denominations that came during this period in 1920s, 30s and 40s, in particular in the United States of America. From 1906, all these virgins slumbered, slept till 1956, and about 50 years, nothing could wake them up. God prepared a man to take the message that would wake them all up. At the same time, this man was also to clear up the error that surrounded the revelation of the oil and many false teaching that existed in the church. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The midnight cry was made not by one sister, not by one within the system, not by within the system, but rather voice one carrying without, like John the Baptist. This man was forerunner of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came with a message forerunning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, brothers and sisters, we are much closer than anybody in this century to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you, the Lord very specific with his time. Sometimes we are worried why the Lord is delaying, why the Lord is delaying. But there is a specific time. There are certain things which he fulfilled. I must tell you, we will not be surprised about his coming. We will never be surprised. The bride will know. We may not know the hour and the day, but bride will know certain aspect. That's why we should be ready for his coming. This messenger was sent to forerun the bridegroom, the Christ of God. He was, as was in natural wedding procession of the bridegroom to the bride's home, the best man would proceed before the bridegroom to herald his arrival. As soon as he was able to see the light of the village, he would raise his voice and shout. This cry was not only waken the bridesmaids, but it would also waken everyone who heard in commotion. You see, when in 1950s, when this man began to bring forth these teachings, there were a lot of dissension, particularly denominational teaching. denominations. They also got awakened. Because foolish virgins were awakened by this. They woke when they heard it. But they did not have enough oil to take them forth. Denominations also heard this message. In 1950s, 60s, what they heard was, whatever they heard, they took it in the wrong spirit, wrong way. And that's why even today, when you mention about this man, there are a lot of question mark. That is mainly due to the understanding of the foolish virgins, as well as the followers of Branham. The followers of Branham, which is called by the Branhamites in the United States and all over the world. They are all over the world. They are in India, they are in every part of the world, Africa, Philippines, everywhere, these Branhamites. What do? They try to exalt this Branham beyond who he is. They are trying to exalt him to a deity level and worship him. Like in each age, sometimes, you remember Paul, when people saw Paul performing miracles, they said, "You are gods." They want to recognize and worship him. In the same way, like what happened to John Wesley, like what happened to Luther, these followers of Branham, try to lift him beyond who he is and give him a recognition which is only preserved and reserved for the Lord God. And as a result of that, some denominations, even today, when you talk about Branham, a lot of question mark. For about 50 years, the virgins of God had slumbered and slept in the system. For 1956, the year that messenger William Branham came and cried, "Come out, come back to the word, come back to the original, come back to the apostolic faith, apostolic father's faith." It was a message for all who had an ear to hear, to break free out of the system and to meet and receive the word groom. The word groom. That's why it says, you would begin to understand the word. This word, as I told you last Sunday, if you need to understand the Lord or the word, to understand the word or the Lord. When you understand the word of the Lord, you will understand the Lord or the word. And then only you know that parousia, if you mention the presence of God in the word, that will begin to enlighten you, the presence of God. His message was to call the elect out of mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlot, the abomination of the earth, the Roman Catholic system. And all her harlot daughters, the denominational churches, all her harlot daughters. You know, at the end of the day, Lord said he will bind them in bundles. You know, what will happen to them? He will, in the end time, all these people, are they bundles? They already bundled themselves. What happens? The Lord will come and put the bundles into the place which they will serve that purpose that God designed for. Brother Branham ministry revealed the word of God to call the elect back to the original word, and the word that was Christ. Elect was called to meet the revealed word, come to the fullness. 50 is the number of the Jubilee. Jubilee represents liberty and freedom. It was 50 years after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1956 which began the Laodicean Age that midnight cry was made. Having heard the cry, virgins began to stir from their slumbering, and they had slept deeply long. Now their lives were dim. The virgins sleeping in the religious system for such a length of time had certainly darkened their understanding of the word, and they were indoctrinated with many traditional man-made teachings. Seeing that soon their lamps would consume the last of the oil, the foolish virgins had no choice but to quickly rush off and search for those who sell oil. The foolish virgins have to go and look for the people who sell oil. Oil merchants refer to the preachers of the Holy Spirit baptism. There are numerous Holy Spirit baptism preachers, oil merchants, scattered throughout the entire world. You know, today we have hundreds of them. When I say this, I am not talking with malice or anger, but I am telling this is what happens. Most of these people are selling the gospel. They are merchants. You know what is merchant? Merchant is a guy who buys and sells. He buys this from me and he keep a cut and he sell. That's the merchant's responsibility. You know, merchants always add his portion of profit and sell it. He won't give anything free. And here we find there are oil merchants today. In the Christian church, they are full of oil merchants. There's the one evangelist who comes to this country, I think every 2 years from India. He has big meetings and then he says, he gives a cart and sell it for $10. 1 week, I'll pray for you $10. 1 month, I'll pray for you $50. For 1 year, you want my prayer? $1,000. There are people like that. Not only that, you go to denominational churches, they are after your pocket. They have this project, that project, building project, you know, church building project, outreach project, various projects, continuous project. And you have to pledge even your future salary. Not only your current 10% from your salary, your future income you have to pledge. They said, okay, by faith you pledge your future income for this project, this great building project, this great outreach project, this evangelist program. Merchants. And what do they do? And I know they are television evangelists. I am not criticizing this. They are television evangelists who comes on the television, demonstrate various healing. It's a stage show. Huh? I must tell you, that some of these things are stage shows. They are not genuine things like what we have witnessed. And what do? They live in luxury. They will not travel other than in the first class, when you are traveling over in the aircraft. They will also stay in the hotels, the best suit. Whom are they doing with whose money? Now, I also travel in this business class and stayed in hotels, but not with my money, not with the money which God gives to children of God gives, the money with the bank. If bank send me to go to pay my ticket for the Goa business class, I will go. If the bank pay for my hotel stay in a luxury hotel, it's not my money. It's not the money of the children of God. But these people extract the money which belongs to the children of God and they give it. And then there are no difference between them and the people in the other religions. Extract money. So these oil merchants are continuously doing that. And where are the foolish virgins? They are thinking that they are doing something and giving their tithes and all donations and gifts and offerings to all such things. Not only from their present salaries, future salaries also pledged to these people who try to extract more and more money. When in midnight cry was sounded forth, in 1956 wise virgins were awakened and they trimmed their lamps. And they having oil with their lamps burning bright understood the message and all specific that came with it. They immediately went forth to meet the bridegroom and entered with him into the marriage feast. Since that time there have been many virgins who are awakened by the shout. And I think since 1956 the many people in the denominations, and I remember in 1881, and I remember Sriyan, we were all in Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God at that time was much better than what is today, I believe. It was a very spiritual group of people. And in fact that time is a time where God demonstrated so much of healings. In fact, the raising of Nitya Edwards, who was crippled, I have witnessed that. I had many times a meeting with her. And there are many wonderful things happen in that group. And it is in 1980 when the Lord spoke to me and revealed His word and says, you have to come out. There is no way that you are going to be enriched of the word of God by being still. And that's the year I came out of. Because she says, I have nothing to do with her place. They are only selling. I remember one day, you know, in Assemblies of God had in Kolpiti, the main church, they were building that whole structure, a new church. And one night, I was in the university at that time. The main door was, old door was painted in white. And myself and another brother, called Bala, Ranjit Bala, and he is now in India. He and myself, from 6 o'clock in the evening, till following 4 o'clock, we scrubbed the door, old paints, so that new paint could be applied. And that amount of sacrifice people made, and I know many people, many of their time was given, thinking that they were doing this the right thing. But the Lord has some purpose. I am sure there are many people who are in various denominations, thinking that this is right, but they are like what? Somebody putting their money into a pocket which just falls. At the end of the day, there is nothing left for them. That's why the Lord is, throughout the years, since 1956, from time to time, the wise virgins within the other denominational systems have also been aroused from their sleep by commotion. They woke up to investigate and found the parousia, his presence of the Lord of Christ has taken place. They obtained information that told them that they need a certain specific oil in their lamps to enter into the marriage feast. And they sought and obtained through fivefold ministry. These wise virgins easily could meet the bridegroom and enter the marriage feast because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They knew their oil. They had the oil vessels with them to have constant supply of the flame. You know, the Bible is so rich. This word of God is so rich. And to understand from book of Genesis to Revelation, you need the Holy Spirit. Fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about this speaking in tongues, which is a gift. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. But when it comes to baptism, the Holy Spirit is totally different things. If you have indicated that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is one reason that you are here, because you have a hunger and thirst for the truth. And when you open the word, when we speak present, and you would be able to understand the truth. You will be able to understand this divine truth because you have that Holy Spirit in you. And they knew that oil which the Spirit of God would light the way and reveal further deeper into His Word and make known to them the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Foolish virgins were never full of the Spirit but just had what they needed for Him. Such as they, the many Pentecostals and charismatic even today. The parable does not just tell about the virgins and the oil, their lamps. It also talks about being awakened by the cry of the messenger. Both wise and the foolish virgins heard the cry of the messenger. They all heard the shout and they heard the message. Yet only wise fully understood the message and the added blessings and revelations uttered by the messenger. But many of the virgins who had heard the cry, whether it be in late 50s, 60s, 70s, 90s, in 80s and 90s, 2000, still yet to enter into the marriage feast because they have not oil to get them to the bridegroom and the marriage feast. One thing is, I must tell you, with regard to wise virgins, they are in the chupa. This is the chupa. What happens is, as I told you last Sunday, in the chupa, two important things take place. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of the bride. As in a natural wedding, after merrymaking is over, the bridegroom and the bride, they are separated. They are separated from the crowd. While the crowd is making merry and dancing and doing various things, here comes the bride and bridegroom. They are separated from this group of people who are merrymaking. And they are alone by themselves. When they are alone by themselves, and the bride will begin to know the groom. That is what we call the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This entire word, from Genesis to Revelation, refers, because the Bible says before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. And that's why there is enough word that is written here. That means that everything that we need to know about it, And when I cover the seven seals, you would understand the aspect of truth that we need to recognize. What important for us, our lives, to come to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. How would one would come to the stature? We would not come to the stature like the CPM people come with white dresses and try to physically do certain things. No. We won't go beard or kind of dress which is, you know, reflect outwardly. The stature that would come to us through the Word. As the Lord, who was the Word, made flesh. And now we are in the Word, we are in the flesh. And we have to be made Word. That means there has to be element of Word that would cover in our lives. The Bible says, the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead will quicken in our mortal body. Will quicken our mortal body and mortify the deeds of the flesh. These deeds of the flesh can only be mortified the amount of the revelation of His Word that the Spirit of God will bring. And as the Word is presented to you, and as you read the Word, as you understand the Word, the faith is come to you. The faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says, not by only reading, is cometh by hearing. And as you understand the truth of the Word, and then your life try to mesh the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one standard the Lord has, that is the Word of God. So He will look at the bride and see whether the bride matches the standard that He designed, He expects. That's what happens in the Chupa. It happens in the Chupa, revelation of the bride and the bridegroom. There are many virgins who have heard the message of the messenger, Brother Branham, but they are not followed through the marriage feast. Marriage feast is the revelation of the Word which is spread out by His ascension gifts, the ministry of the apostle, prophet, pastors and teachers. Now what happens is I explain to you two aspects of the 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The shout was finished. What was the shout? Shout is the messenger, prophet, when he brought us in the 1956 back to the Word of God and began to reveal the mysteries of the Word. Revelation 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So those mysteries are finished, which is given to us in the Word. And during this period, many number of people who are in various denominations have come out of their denomination, come back to the Word. And then when they come out, and then the God has ordained a fivefold ministry. This fivefold ministry consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now this fivefold ministry I'm talking about, these not pastors all over, you know, there are pastors everywhere, kind of pastors, not, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the essential gift that God has given. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, you says, this fivefold ministry is given for them to bring people to the stature and the measure and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read that. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 to 13 says, the responsibility of the fivefold ministry is to bring people to the stature and the measure and to the knowledge of the Son of God. And if these so-called pastors and the prophet and evangelists and apostles are not doing that, then they are out of this ministry. So therefore when I refer to this fivefold ministry, these apostles, prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, are referring to the anointed people in this our age with the anointing to bring forth the truth of the Word of God to the bride of Christ. And they are, you see, they are the voice of the Lord. They are the mouthpiece of God. Their task is to bring people to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they are called the voice of the archangel. They have that responsibility. So yet, two things have now, one is finished, shout is finished, the voice of the archangel taking place because the fivefold, through the fivefold ministry, the bride of the elect is being fed, the true word, which was brought in 1956. But yet there is something to be fulfilled. The trump, the last trump, when the trumpet sound, the Bible says, dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive shall be changed. That has still not taken place. That will take place, as the Bible says, when the seven thunders utter. When the seventh seal was opened, you know, when we have explained to you six seals, six seals are opened, and we will explain to you what is there in the sixth seal. But when the seventh seal was opened, which is in the book of Revelation chapter 8, John saw it, and he was about to write what is there in the seventh seal. And the angel said, don't write it, seal it up. And therefore, what John saw when the seventh seal was opened, not known, not recorded in the word of God. But the Bible says, when the seven thunders, where God would raise seven men, that would come forth and bring into being the ministry, the final concluding ministry, or the official, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Shout the voice and the trumpet that you and I would receive the rapturing faith. This body of mine and yours would change. Where the Bible said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That ministry is yet to take place. But some of the virgins are still confused, for they do not know how to get ready to enter into the feast. Oil merchants are selling lies, and lies as truth. There are many virgins who have heard the message of the Branham, but they have not followed through. The foolish virgins will remain foolish until it is too late. Having started their journey foolishly, it is difficult for them to ever come to the realization of the importance of getting true oil before it's too late. They have also failed to realize the revelation of God and His Word, always progressive, and importance of looking into Holy Scriptures that God has written. This is important. They have also failed to realize that the revelation of God and the Word is always progressive, and the importance of looking into the Holy Scriptures that God has written. That is where we are different from these Branhamites. You know, these Branhamites, these people, followers of Branham, what they do? They have so many sermons preached by Brother Branham. All these sermons are in booklets. All what he said in verses like that. And these people, these sermons are good. I have all of his sermons in CD form. These sermons are good. But you know, what do these people do? These followers, these Branhamites, have left this book out. And they only carry these books, the message books of the messenger, Branham. Wherever they go, their meetings, their fellowship, they don't have the Bible, they have those books. And every time they preach, they say, prophet said this, prophet said this, prophet said this. And that is why there is so much of damage today. When we present the truth, and people think we are also one of those groups, we will be mistakenly identified, but that's Satan does that very subtly, so that even the true element will not even come. And these people, actually these books are sermons which he has preached during that period. There is absolutely nothing wrong with those sermons. They are very good sermons. I have not heard or read all, but I have read few. But what happens is, it is like what I would compare is a shoe, like shoe and lace. These books are like a lace. And this lace is no use without the shoe. All these sermons, what he preached, leads people to the word. And if you don't have this, you will not understand. So the element of these Branham groups, they only carry the lace without the shoe, no use. And that's why we have got the best when he brought message of those revelations, 14 revelations, which I have highlighted to you last Sunday, from the Word of God, starting from the Godhead, the original sin, and various aspects of the revelation of the Word of God. And beyond that, his role is over. His message is his ministry of the shout, and it's over. And now fivefold ministry where God has raised is carrying forth, bringing the bride of Christ to the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this evening, as we close this study in the seven church ages, I must tell you, brothers and sisters, at the beginning, as I said today, that you are a privileged people. Why you are a privileged people? Even Paul and Peter, apostles, never had this opportunity. Because they were, at the beginning, they were looking forward for these events to take place. But we are at the end of it. We are looking back and seeing these events that have taken place. We have seen what is happening in the first age. We have seen what is happening in the second age, third age, fourth age, fifth age, and sixth age, and even the seventh age. We have seen them. So the apostles were not privileged. But you and I are privileged to see this. But this privilege will come so well when our lives mesh the word of God. We are in the chupa, where the Lord is revealing himself. And the day will come, his epiphania, that is bodily meeting of the Lord, will take place. Many things that need to take place in our lives. Our lives still are short of what God's expectations. In many areas we are falling short of God's expectations. Many areas we are failing and falling. My prayer for you and me is that we strongly go back to the word, understand his truth. And as soon as possible, with the urgency, you remember how the children of Israel, how they ate when they were departing from the land of Egypt. They ate in haste. Their shoes on your feet. And they ate in haste. And that's why we are running a race. It's not a marathon, it's 100 meters. We have no time like the tortoise and the hare to go and have a nap and a cup of tea. We have to run, we have to understand the truth. And the truth will set us free. And that's why we have presented this divine truth in the last so many months in presenting. Therefore, in conclusion, I want to tell you, don't belong to be a tear. You are a wheat of God. We are not also foolish. We are wise because God has illuminated our understanding. He has given us his spirit fully so that we can see the things very clearly. Let's pray. And as we conclude today this message, I must tell you, when this feast is over, the door is closed. No longer it will be open. When Noah also closed the door of the ark, thereafter nobody could go. In the same way, the door will be closed very soon. But the Lord has opened the door for us. The door of revelation is open, or the word of God to us. As Brother Ravi and Brother Sriyan come, take up the needs of the people, take the needs of all of you. I want you to really remember all of us in prayer. Hopefully, God willing, from next Sunday onwards, we are starting on the seven seals. And I want you to help us to understand as we present this truth.